In this episode of the Exploring Information Security Podcast, how to hire qualified application security talent.
Part two. Welcome to the Exploring Information Security Podcast, where you will learn, explore, and grow your security mindset. I am your host, Timothy D. Block, and in this episode, we will be continuing to explore how to hire qualified application security talent.
Finally, kind of that fifth mistake that we have there that we really want to avoid is that overly broad job requirement. You know, I mean, I've had a recruiter one time send me a job posting, and I wasn't even looking, to be honest. It's weird, but
you know, no, it happens to everybody. Yeah, everybody gets that, especially in AppSec, where if you have a little bit of application security program building experience, you're going to get hit up quite a bit.
You know, and it's funny because, to be honest, most of the job recs I get typically are around development. And I'm like, I haven't done development in like 5 years. Like, do you even look at my profile? Like, what are you doing?
They must have like an old resume. I keep getting head up for help desk positions. And I'm like, yeah, I think I'm good.
That's got to be what it is. So, but, you know, I got this thing from it. It was for an information security engineer. And it had all kinds of stuff, network stuff, you know, IPS. And, you know, at the time I was like, I don't really care about this. And I'm like, whatever. You know, I mean, I wasn't really looking. And it was funny. It was that day. Something had happened. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to call this guy just to see what's going on. So I reached out to him. And I was like, you know, the title says AppSec, but this is really more of like just general information security. I don't do any of that stuff. Oh, no. They really want AppSec. You know, that's just their general job rec that they put out for all their information security positions. I'm like, well, you know, that's not really going to attract good people when you're saying all this stuff. Like, trust me, I'm not coming in to manage your firewalls. You know, I've got no issue being able to draw the line and say, I'm not guy. I'm not an OS guy. You know, I know applications. And, you know, they got all this stuff on there. And I'm like, how do you expect to find a person to fill that spot? You're going to get so many resumes from people that have one of those things, mm-hmm. of which none of them are what you're actually looking for. It's just a bad rec, you know, and go back to the other ones, you know, where you see, oh, I want pen testing. I want manual source code review. I want policy creation. I want SDLC. I want development background. I want all these things. And it's like, but do you really need all that? Because you're drawing in potentially the wrong people. So not only does it make it much harder to find that right person, right? Because now you're flooded with anybody that's looking to get into information security is throwing their resume into the hat. Now you got to start weeding through those. 90% aren't related to what you're actually looking for. You know, and even if you do find some that are what you thought you were looking for, you didn't start with step one here. And you didn't actually know what you were looking for anyway, you know, and it just unravels into it makes it very difficult to find the right people. And, you know, there's got to be better ways that we can go about doing that. So, you know, I always try to work with clients and say, and I've actually tried reaching out to recruiting companies and say, hey, look, you know, let's talk about how you're doing this. You know, what are these recs you're putting out? You know, are you actually sitting with the hiring manager or whoever it is that's putting this thing together and saying, okay, talk to me about your role. Talk to me about the position you're actually trying to fill. What are you trying to do? Because if I don't need these three items, well, then let's remove it off of the list. Or, you know, we can put it down in the nice to haves, but that's future stuff we're going to do. That's not top priority. Really top priority is I want somebody that can come in, hit the ground running and do this. You know, we see a lot of issue trying to bring interns in. You know, we'll bring an intern in. That's great if you've got a program in place to mm-hmm. help the intern get where they need to go. But have a plan to be able to help them. It can't be, okay, just go do this, right? There are a few people that will handle that situation well, right? Most people, they need a little bit more than that, you know? And so you really have to understand what it is they're looking for and what they can do and what you're able to provide. Because, you know, people, I think, want to have a thriving ecosystem that's going on within their systems, right? So they want people to succeed. I don't want to have to hire somebody and then find out I got to let them go in a month or 6 months down the road. I mean, it's costly. I don't want them to leave within 6 months, right?
That, yeah, that's a very expensive proposition.
It's very costly to bring these people in, and then they start some projects and they're midway through them and now they're gone. So you're like, oh, how am I going to finish these projects? It's a big problem. So there's so much planning, and it sucks to say it, but there's so much planning that actually should go into it of saying, hey, what do we really want to do? Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, we're just kind of throwing our chips out there and saying, let's see if something pops on this thing. And this guy seems good. We'll bring him in and, you know, maybe he'll do something during the day. But are we utilizing to his full potential? Are we utilizing somebody so much that they're burnt out? You know, and I've seen both sides. You know, I've seen people get burnt out because they're bored, because they don't have enough that they're doing. You know, it's like, you know, they really just want me to do this. Or maybe they don't have a lot of motivation, so they just kind of do whatever. They kind of get burnt out. But then you get people that, man, you know, they brought me in. They really should have brought three people in to do this, and they've got one. So I'm busting. You know, I'm doing 100 hours a week, you know, and people aren't going to stay long doing that.
Right.
You know, you would have known that had you kind of gone through and really thought out, what are we trying to do? You know, so I think, you know, avoiding some of those mistakes will not only help you hire quicker, but it'll also help you hire somebody that's more, that's going to fit in better and hopefully be training up. You know, one of the things when we talk about overly broad job requirements, you know, I see a lot of postings where they ask for certifications that don't really relate. You know, for the longest time, I've seen things like CISSP, and it's like
3 years of security experience along with that.
You know, you see things, you know, even better, you see things like 8 years of security experience. You're like, okay, good luck finding that one. But you'll see, I mean, for AppSec, like I have the CSSLP, which I'm like probably one of five people that have it, you know, which is the secure software lifecycle professional. So it's the little brother, probably even the smaller baby brother to CISSP, you know, which is recognized everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you'll see me like, oh, we want you to have the CISSP. It's like, but for what I do, the CSSLP is better because it actually has to do with the SDLC and different portions of it, putting security into it, whereas the CISSP doesn't, you know. And but we don't look at that. You know, we look out there and we say, oh, man, we want you to have, you know, these 8 GAC certifications. We want you to have the OSCP. We want you to have this and this. And you're like, you know, the CEH, all these things. Like, but that's not really relevant to what I'm doing, you know. And so a lot of them, you see people get turned away from it, you know, or they'll just be like, oh, I guess I don't qualify. And you're missing out on potentially good candidates.
So final question here. How involved should the development team be in the process?
I mean, you know, like I said, I think development teams, and when I say development team, I include everybody on the application team, you know, the business analysts, QAs. I think they should be involved. But again, a lot of it is, what are you trying to bring in? So, you know, if it's somebody that's going to be evangelistic, you know, I mean, I'm not saying have the development teams involved with the hiring process of, you know, bring somebody into the security organization. I would be more, the development team should be involved with kind of the mistakes around B and C, right? Of understanding, hey, we have to have good communication with development teams. We have to understand what they're capable of doing. What are they able to take on? What's going to be part of their pipeline? So then we can make our decisions on our side of the fence. You know, but I'm a big fan, you know, having AppSec people sit near or with development teams, you know, not in completely separate areas. I think there's lots of perks to that. Maybe it's not full time, but, you know, having them there where they feel like they're part of the team. And that's something that should be taken into consideration is, hey, we're bringing somebody in that's going to be really heavily part of development. They're not developers, but they're part of that development piece. So we need them to be able to fit in. So understanding your development teams, you know, as far as understanding how much they should be involved in the process, as far as application security in general, right? You know, I think we've talked a lot about that, but, you know, making sure that there are some things that they can take on. You know, it shouldn't be this idea that, well, we're application security, we're providing all, you know, we're responsible for the security of the application.
Right. We're the light or the answer.
Yeah, and possibly not even the answer, right? But more of the, hey, look, I'm here to help guide you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm here to, I said to somebody I was talking to at a meetup recently, you know, again, I'm not here to protect you. I'm here to help you protect yourself. I'm here to help you prioritize and stay on top of, hey, what are the current trends? What are the things that we need to be concerned about? You're using these frameworks. You know what? Maybe I might want to go out there and find out what are the common flaws with those type of frameworks. I mean, we just recently saw, right, Rails system getting compromised because of Java deserialization issues, mm-hmm. you know, that should have been patched a year ago. You know, so staying on top of, hey, what type of stacks are we using? Do we have application inventories? You know, what are our risks? Now let me portray those to you and see how can we as an organization tackle these risks, right? It's not something that me over an AppSec can just tackle, right? I obviously have to come up with cool ways to make it interesting and motivated. You know, so it's not just somebody barking commands to do something.
You know? What I like to use is that I'm putting them in a position to succeed. And that's what I tell them, is that I'm there to help them be better, you know, succeed at their job.
Yeah. You know, it's one thing, you know, I think it's tough, you know, especially if you don't come from development. You know, there's a lot of pride. It doesn't matter what developer you talk to. I mean, there's a lot of pride in what you do, right? You can build some really cool stuff. You can build some really boring stuff. But you're building something, right? I mean, you are making something work. You're doing something, right? And so there's a lot of pride in that. So we already feel like, hey, we're doing a great job. And so being able to provide that extra motivation and getting the idea across that, look, security is just as important as, you know, the ability for you to make that trade transaction on time. Or do some of these other things. Like, security is important. And depending on the devices we're working on, right? Maybe it's medical equipment. Maybe it's automobiles. Maybe it's stock trading, right? I mean, stuff that can have serious effects, but we don't think about that. Typically, when we think about it from a development standpoint, I think, hey, I needed to be able to get A over to B. And I did that. And that's where, what are we doing as an AppSec role in our organization? You know, are you there to help them start to understand that? Or are you trying to create a role that you're saying my AppSec guy or gal is going to be in every design meeting? You know, we don't have a removal plan. I don't have a plan that says, yeah, I'm gonna be sitting in your design meetings and slowly wean off me sitting in your design meetings because you're going to start understanding this. And then we're going to get to the point where we all trust that you find a problem you're not sure about, you'll reach out to me if you need assistance, right? That's what I'm here for. But I shouldn't have to scale my AppSec program to have somebody being able to sit in every single meeting. Mm-hmm. I should be able to start evangelizing that out and teaching them, here's how we approach this. And if we come across something that I haven't seen before, then reach out. You know, but again, that leads back to, how many people do I need? Do I need 5 people? Do I need 10 people? I mean, there's some models out there that'll say you need one AppSec person for every 20 developers or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any hard and fast rule,
right,
for how that works. I mean, I did AppSec for a company. You know, we had way more than 20 developers, but I mean, one person could handle it because that's how the role was set up, right? It wasn't set up to do all the manual testing and do all the scanning and doing all this different stuff, right? We had tasked that stuff out so we could handle that. But we had a better idea of what we were trying to do with an AppSec program at that particular place. Now you go to another place, maybe they don't have any of that, right? So it all really starts with what are you trying to get out of your app? And don't just say more secure applications. Really think about it. What are you trying to get out of it? Mm-hmm. And now we can start looking at how we can actually start getting more qualified people. And like I said, that qualification may be a bachelor's degree. That may be no experience at all. I mean, we've got bug bounties out there now. We've got all different ways to be able to show that you've got some sort of skill sets. You know, whether you've got projects out on GitHub, you know, what are you working on? What are you doing? Show me your motivation. What am I need? What are you doing to show me that you can meet that and that it'll work in this situation?
Right. What would you like to plug?
Basically, I've got two things that I really put a lot of effort into. One is my company, which is Jardine Software, which ironically we don't do software anymore. I used to do software. Now we do helping organizations with application security. That's helping them identify what they're doing in their program, helping them test their apps and training for their stuff. And the other thing I just want to point out there is I do a site. It's called DevelopSec. It's developsec.com. There's a podcast as well as a blog. And I like to put up stuff that's application security focused. That site pretty much all application security, focused on developers, focused on QA, focused on BAs, trying to get application security embedded in. So a lot of the ideas I come up with, things I think about, I'll go and post on DevelopSec. So kind of a good resource. It's a free resource for people to go out and get some cool information.
Awesome. And your Twitter handle?
It is at Jardine Software, or actually on DevelopSec too. I have at DevelopSec.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for joining me to discuss how to hire qualified application security talent. That will do it. Hopefully you learned something. Feedback is welcome at timothy.dblock@gmail.com or on Twitter at timothydblock. Show notes can be found at timothydblock.com/EIS. If you enjoyed the show, share it with others and rate it on iTunes. Have a good one.